We're now going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read at verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, last time we considered the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. And we saw that the kingdom came with the coming of Christ. In his coming and fulfilling God's law and laying down his life to pay the penalty for us breaking the law, he overcame the power of sin and the power of death. And we saw that in the vision that had been given to Daniel in chapter 7, that this is what had been prophesied. We saw that the beast in Daniel's vision was slain, but yet the 10 horns continued to make war against the saints. And they continued to persecute the saints until the Ancient of Days came in judgment to destroy the horns and to give the kingdom over to the people. And there we had a picture of Christ's first coming and destroying the beast, and his second coming when he comes from the Ancient of Days. Not as the Son of Man, but as the Ancient of Days. He comes with the glory of God. And he's going to come in judgment. And when he comes to judge the world, he will deliver the kingdom over to his people. So when we're praying for his kingdom to come, we saw that we're continuing to pray that his influence would continue to slay the sins that are still so numerous in our own hearts. And that his rule would become dominant in our lives. That we would accept him as our king. That he would rule over our lives as we continue to crucify the flesh and the powers of darkness that are still assailing us, even although they have been dethroned. They're still causing us a lot of problems, just as the 10 horns were causing the saints problems in Daniel's vision. But not only are we praying for his kingdom and his rule to come into our own lives, we're also praying that he would bring others into subjection to himself. That he would make a people willing in a day of his power. And that he would continue to convert sinners throughout the world until the whole earth is filled with the glory of his kingdom. We're now coming to consider this petition, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you can't have a kingdom without having policies. A kingdom must be run. So, to have a prosperous kingdom, you need a good leader. And you need good policies. Because without strong leadership and without good policies, then your kingdom won't really come to very much. Well, we have a strong leader. Not in Theresa May, but we have a strong leader in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him because we know that he's sovereignly ruling on the throne of the universe. He came into this world and he waged war on the greatest enemies that we will ever experience in this life, sin and ultimately death. And he triumphed. And he brought us into submission to himself. He liberated us. And he has made the influence of his kingdom felt in our lives. Now, You might think, well, he hasn't really made that much difference in the world. Well, that depends on how you view things. Because he's made a great deal of difference in the world. When we consider the small beginnings of his kingdom with a dozen disciples, and when we now consider that there are billions of Christians worldwide, and the difference that these Christians have made to the world that we're living in, the difference that the Christians in Britain made to the nation that we're living in, the difference that those that went before us in Scotland made to the inheritance that we received. Now we can resemble what has happened with the coming of Christ to what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. When the Allied forces went in to liberate the people, they dethroned Saddam Hussein. They dethroned the Taliban. But there are still pockets of resistance. They're still not experiencing the great liberty that they could had they been completely conquered. And that's how it is for the Christians in this world. Satan has been dethroned, but there are still pockets of resistance within our own hearts. But they will ultimately be overcome. But even although there is that resistance in our hearts, we are far better people than what we would have been if Christ had not come into our lives. And not only has that profited us as individuals, but it's profited those that know us. Because we're not living the way that we once used to live prior to our coming to Christ. Now, his kingdom has already begun to come, and his policies are being implemented. His will is being done. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read there of a description of God working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. We have a picture of God with a plan for all of history. He is sitting on his throne, and he had this plan from before the foundations of the world, we're told. He's sitting on his throne, and he's exercising his power to bring that plan into play. He's not sitting back observing what's happening in his kingdom. No, he's very much involved in everything that's happening in his kingdom. Now, no one can build a kingdom. No one can build anything without a plan. We need a blueprint. God has a blueprint, the counsel of his own will. And he's carrying it out to the last detail. Now, he's given us a copy of that blueprint. He's given us his word. But we might not fully understand what he's purposing to build. Just as builders, when they go onto a building site, might not understand what the architect has in mind. When they go into the building site, it's just a mass of rubble. The rubble has to be cleared away. Foundations have to be laid. Workers just need to do what they're told. They don't need to understand the architect's plan. As long as the foreman understands what the architect has in mind and convey that to his workers, they just get on with it. Because they believe that there is going to be a building, and although they can't see the full picture, they believe that the architect has worked everything out and that everything is going to be brought together. and when the building is complete, that it'll be exactly as the architect had planned it. And that's what God has in view for this world. Now, because God is a person, it means that not only can we communicate with Him, but we're assured that we can communicate with Him in such a way that He continues to reveal to us His purpose. That He reveals to us what He's doing. That He opens our minds and our understanding. Now, one of the abilities that any person has is the ability to look ahead. Now, God has looked ahead. He's looked to the future. And He's bringing all things under His dominion in order to fulfill what He has purposed to create for the future. And that's the glorious hope that's given to the Christian. That's the vision that was given to Daniel when he was there in captivity down in Babylon, to encourage him that all things, or though it appeared that the enemy was ruling and that everything was in disarray, he was given a vision to see that God was in control, that God had a plan, and that everything would come together, and in the end, everything would work in the favor of God's people. All things will work together for the good of those who love God. Now, God is working according to His plan. And He's revealed that plan to us in His Word. God makes no mistakes. There's no false starts. Nothing happens at random. There's no such thing as chance or luck or fate. It is all being sovereignly controlled by Him. And He wants us to know that plan. And that's what He wants us to pray for, that His plan would be fulfilled. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That teaches us to pray that God's plan would be accomplished in this world, so that God's name may be glorified, so that God's kingdom would continue to come and be established. That's the prayer that He's given to His people. Now, we know that it's through prayer that God has chosen to bless His people. All the blessings that we receive in this world come through the medium of prayer, because prayer releases God's blessing. It changes lives. It builds up people. It casts out devils. It brings revival into communities and even into nations. And that has all come to pass from what appeared to be the insignificant cries of God's people pleading with Him to establish His kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. His blessing has been brought down through prayer, because they have tapped into the arm of God, the power of God, the God who rules the world by that arm, the arm of His power. And He's allowed His people to influence that arm so that His will would be done, and that they would be reconciled to what that will is, and that they would see the blessings that He has bestowed in accordance with His own will. And Jesus teaches us that we're to pray that his will would be done. Because our prayers are governed by God's will. And that's why we need to know what's revealed to us in this word. Because unless we know what the Bible teaches, how are we going to pray according to God's will? Unless the foreman can see the plan that the architect has drawn, how will he know what he's going to tell his people to do? We need to know what God's will is. And we need to desire that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that gives us great encouragement to pray that he would intervene. Because there's not one of us who doesn't want to go to heaven or who might even be wishing that he was already in heaven. But what we're asking in this prayer is that heaven would come to earth. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we might experience the blessings of God here and now in this world. And his people do experience his blessings here and now in this world. Because they're praying in accordance with his will. And they're working in accordance with what has been revealed to them. They're working out their salvation with fear and trembling in accordance with the one who has worked in them, both the will and to do according to his good pleasure. What would earth be like if heaven came down? Well, it would mean that everybody would be giving perfect obedience to God's commandment. Because if everybody was able to give perfect obedience to God's commandment, we would have heaven on earth. The reason that we sometimes experience hell on earth is because of man's disobedience to God's commandment. Now, God's will, the theologians tell us, are in two sections. There's his hidden will and his revealed will. They're not two different wills. But part of God's will is hidden from us. We cannot fully understand everything that he has revealed to us in his word. Just as the worker cannot fully understand everything that the architect has in mind, but he trusts that the architect knows what he's doing. That's the distinction that was clearly drawn by Moses when he said to Israel, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law." So although we cannot fully understand everything, what we do understand, we're to act in accordance. Because as Moses said, the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. We are to act in accordance with what's been revealed to us. Now, undoubtedly, Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is teaching that we pray according to what's revealed to us in Scripture. Because that's his revealed will for us. And it's only as we pray for what's revealed to us in Scripture that his name will be glorified. That we honor his name. Because when we endeavor to give obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're willing to take up our cross in order to give obedience, because the road that he leads us in is not an easy road. Sometimes the work that workers are given on a building site isn't an easy work, yet they need to get on with it. And the same is true for the Lord's people. When Jesus is leading us, he's not always asking us to do that which is easy for us to do. And he hasn't promised that he's going to do it for us. He has made it very clear to us that we need to follow him, that we need to work out our own salvation, that we need to take up our cross. It's not him that's going to crucify the flesh, it's us. He doesn't need to crucify the flesh. He has already offered up his own flesh so that we might receive grace to overcome our flesh, our sinful desires. But it's us that needs to use that grace. That's why we need to pray. We need to receive his help. Because without his help, we will never do it. Not only will we not know what he requires of us, but we will never do what he requires of us unless we receive grace. Because what he requires of us is at a far higher standard than any man could ever set. The standard is perfection. And that's what we need to strive for. Not that we're ever going to be perfect in this world, but we believe that the moment that we leave it, we will be made perfect. And the only ones that will be made perfect are the ones that are striving for it before they receive it. Just as the workers are striving to build before the building is complete. It will not be complete unless they strive to build it. And the same is true for us. And that's why we need to pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to work in accordance with his revealed will. And we need to seek grace in order to be able to follow that will, to take up our cross and to follow him. Now the human instinct is to take the easy way out. Somebody else will do it. But what the Lord requires of us is you do it. Don't leave it up to somebody else, because it's your salvation. And what other people do is none of your business. He's going to deal with us all as individuals. And we will all receive our own individual reward. So that we need to look to what we're doing. Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we giving a clear witness to the world that we are the followers of Jesus? Are they seeing that we're willing to crucify the flesh, that we're not willing to do the things that the world loves to do, that we're willing to make sacrifices in order to give obedience to our Lord? Is that the witness that we're giving? Regardless of what witness other Christians are giving, they'll answer for themselves, what witness are we giving? Are we desiring that his will would be done in our lives? Because we're still here on this earth, and it's where we are that God requires us to witness. He doesn't require me to witness in Glasgow or in Edinburgh or anywhere else. He requires me to witness here in East Kilbride with the people that I'm associated with. And regardless of what other Christians are doing elsewhere, even in East Kilbride, what I need to ask, what am I doing? Am I following the Lord's will for me? Am I in the place that God wants me to be in? And am I endeavouring to show that I'm going to be faithful to Christ regardless of what comes? Regardless of what difficulties might arise in my particular field of ministry? Am I going to pack it in, which is the easy thing to do? We can all walk away from the difficult things. But that's not what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to confront the difficulties that we see in the way. And He guarantees us that He will give us the victory. Because He has overcome this world. And because He has overcome this world, He guarantees that we will overcome it. Now, God has purposed to bless us in advance. And the blessings that He has purposed to give us is far greater than we could ever imagine them to be. As we begin to pray according to His word, asking that His will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? They give perfect obedience. The angels immediately, they're waiting for the words to drop off His lips and they're immediately acting upon these words. His will is done perfectly in heaven. And He wants us that we would pray so that His will would be done with us here on earth, so that He could release the blessings that He has in store for us. Because we've got to believe that God has a plan for us. That's what encourages the Christian, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. If we didn't believe that, then we would despair. Because when we look at the lives sometimes that we have in this world, we might easily conclude, well, if this is it, what's the point? What's the point of being a Christian? We've got to believe that God has a higher plan for us, that He has got a purpose for our lives. Even although we might not understand what that purpose is, we believe that He's got great blessings in store for us. God revealed to Ezekiel, who was also in captivity down in Babylon, He revealed to him that it was His will to restore Israel back to the land out of which they had come. And He describes this to Ezekiel in a vision. He shows him the future. He shows him the future joy and prosperity that were going to be God's people's. And yet, after He gives him that vision, He adds, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. So that although He had purposed a glorious future for Israel, He had also purposed that Israel needed to inquire of it so that He would establish that for them. In other words, He had purposed that Israel would receive that blessedness that He had in store in the future, that they would need to pray for it, that it was only through inquiring and praying for it that He would establish it for them. And the same is true for us. It could be so easy for us to become despondent and despair, especially when we see the fewness of our own number as a church. But we've got to ask ourselves, why is God keeping us here? Has God got a purpose for this church And am I striving to fulfill that purpose? Am I praying diligently that His will would be done in my life so that He will fulfill that purpose? Not just for me, but for the congregation and hopefully for the community at large. Because God has got a purpose. And His revealed will is that He is willing that none would perish, but that all might come to repentance. Now, we have the doctrine of the election. And we know that nobody will be saved except those that are elect. But as Moses said to the people, the secret things of God belong to God, but the revealed will of God belongs to us. The revealed will of God is that He's willing that none would perish. And we need to strive to seek that none will perish. We need to bring the message of the gospel to bear upon their lives. And the more effectual way that we can do that is not to preach it, but to live it. Because my actions will speak a lot louder than the words that I preach. And if we all lived desiring that His will would be done in our lives, then that would have an effect upon our families and upon our friends and all who know us. So we need to pray with fervent desire that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that we might receive the blessings that He has purposed to give us. Because there will be blessings that Christ died to secure for His people that will go unclaimed. Because His people didn't grow in their faith in order to lay hold of them. Are we passing God's blessings by? Because we are not willing to strive. We are not willing to work. We are not willing to give obedience to His will because it's too difficult for us. And it's a lot easier for us to do nothing. That's why Jesus rebuked Satan. Rebuked Peter, that Satan would get behind him. Because Satan will always want us to take the easy way. And he will convince us that it's the right thing to do, to protect ourselves. That's the desire that Peter had. If you know you're going to be suffering and going to be put to death, protect yourself. Don't go up to Jerusalem. And he overcomes us very often with the same kind of reasonings. What can I do? It's going to be too difficult. It's easier just to let somebody else do it. Well, may God grant that He would give us the courage and the conviction to pray that His will would be done on earth, here in our lives, as it is in heaven. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before You as those that would acknowledge their impotency, because we know that without You we can do nothing. But that's one of the reasons that Jesus came into this world, to secure grace for us. Because as Paul said, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Because it's in our weakness that Your strength is made perfect, so that Your name would be glorified and not ours. And that we would see that this is Your work and not ours. And that we would be mindful of the fact and entertain the hope that you've got a higher purpose for us, that you've got a glorious end in view for your people, and that you would give us, O Lord, to press on towards that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us, O Lord, that we would daily seek your grace, so that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us to these ends, forgiving us for our many sins, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing in Psalm 72 on page 314. And we're going to sing from verse 17. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him, and blessed all nations shall him call. To the end of the psalm, his name forever shall endure. His name forever shall the sun it shall, men shall be blessed in him, and blessed all nations shall him call. Now blessed be the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.